RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Ball went up, and then he did a good job of playing through me. I thought I should have got a call, but no call was made, so that's what it was.
Can't rely on the referees, Marquez, Valdez, Scantling. Can't rely on them on that situation. It would take an egregious act for that to happen. Was it pass interference? I guess by the letter of the law, you could have made that play, but they're not going to call a flag on that play. They're just simply not. Although back in Detroit last week, we saw a couple of plays that were called that, you know, fit the bill, and they called them. They didn't have to call, especially the one that went to Amara St. Brown. It didn't look like that was that egregious, but they called it. Steelers benefited by it, so it all evens out. That's why I said about this conspiracy theory, these games are fixed. They're not fixed. Officials make calls. It's a tough thing to do. And Scantling was targeted 9 times. So this is what I put out before the game yesterday, Austin. And tell me if you agree, because before the game, without your two top receivers, and you knew you had no depth there, I tweeted this out, and I thought this is how it's going to be. If not more tight ends in this opportunity, which I thought they would target tight ends a whole bunch, then more Kenny Gainwell.
Yes.
Because last week in Detroit, 9 carries, 50 yards. He had 5 receptions, which led the team, with 78 yards of receiving, which led the team. 100-yard scrimmage games in 2 straight. 4 out of 6 that way, and when he scores a touchdown in a game this year, the Steelers are 5-0. So I thought the way it was going to go, and we had a little contest about targets. I thought Freiermuth would get the most, Gainwell would get the second. Not even close to being right, as it turned out. And this is on the heels of the Steelers outrushing the Lions in the previous week, 230-15. Why wouldn't they double down more on that and just do what kind of Baltimore did? Say, we're just going to let our offensive line, and they were operating at a 5.5 per rush clip against Cleveland yesterday. To me, against the number one ranked defense with no receivers, you're going to throw the ball 39 times? Why?
Kenneth Gainwell only touched the ball, Bob, 9 times. 7 carries for 26 yards, and he had 2 receptions for 14. 9 times for the guy that has been arguably, and I think it's a winnable argument, your most dynamic weapon all season long, that has done things that no one else on this team has been able to do with their versatility. And you don't try to exploit Cleveland with Gainwell?
Right, or Freiermuth. Again, he's sure-handed guy. Right before halftime, middle of the field, they throw to him, he makes a catch, they get a field goal out of it. End of the game, couple of catches down the field, he's open. I know that they're trying to keep the play in front of them, Cleveland is, but still, he makes those plays, and yet he only had 3 receptions.
It seems like there's just something about Cleveland, Bob, where Kenneth Gainwell just doesn't appear or they don't want to use him. In the game against Cleveland earlier this year, 6 carries for 22 yards. He had 6 catches for 14 yards.
Yeah, but that was more than what we saw yesterday in terms of attempts and targets.
Right.
So just do it. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers, when you don't have Metcalf, when you don't have Austin, he was 8 for 21 for only 60 yards when targeting wide receivers. So it did not work. That's a 38.1 rating with passing to wide receivers. And again, with no DK Metcalf, that's a critical loss and a critical mistake that he made in Detroit. And I know we have a Metcalf call or two, so let's get right to it. At the phone lines, 412-928-9370.
Yeah, here is Dave in Morgantown to chime in.
Go ahead, Dave. What's going on?
Hi, Bob. I'm in the car. I just want to know 2 things. Metcalf seems like a hothead. If you look back in the year, how many times he got flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct or personal fouls. Number two, why wasn't Freiermuth targeted more in the game instead of with 1:40 left?
It seemed like, and thanks, Dave. First of all, I'll get to your Metcalf point. I don't know if he's a hothead. I think maybe early in his career he was more of that. I thought I had no problem with that signing, none whatsoever. Did I expect him to get suspended? No. A lot of people thought George Pickens would get suspended. He didn't. Metcalf was the one who did it and could very well cost them their season. With regard to Freiermuth, it seems like in the most critical parts of that game yesterday, who did they go to more? At the end of the first half when they needed a field goal, it was 88. At the end of the game when they needed to move into range to get a touchdown, who was it? 88.
Yeah, and then when they needed to score a touchdown in a goal-to-go situation, who did they go to? The guy that was on the practice squad for 3 weeks before you elevated him and is a journeyman wide receiver that has played for multiple teams.
Right, and I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers has a history with him, and that's fine, except that's what it is, a history. It's not something that's relevant right now, and that's why he was cut twice. And all due respect to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he's had a nice NFL career. It's just that when he becomes your number one targeted guy, you got problems against the number one defense, passing defense in the NFL.
Well, I have a take on this. So MVS was obviously brought here because he is an Aaron Rodgers disciple. And we have been very complimentary of Aaron Rodgers, his ability to make changes at the line of scrimmage, see things like what he did with the Gainwell play and say, just run a go route, throw it up to him, and Gainwell made an incredible play. The freedom that Aaron Rodgers has had to be able to take over went to an excessive amount this last week, where he trusts way too often the ability that MVS was just going to go up there and make a play. Where Kenneth Gainwell was wide open on the fourth down play. Would he have scored? Who knows, but I think it's a better chance than a 50-50 ball to MVS. Where Rodgers was having miscommunication with MVS on multiple occurrences in the end zone. It wasn't just one play, it was twice. And then they throw a very contested go ball to that guy.
Right.
It just got way too hard out of hand with Rodgers' trust for MVS, where he should have been looking for other options, including Freiermuth.
And again, as complimentary as we were to Arthur Smith last week in Detroit, I thought he called his best game of the year. At this point, when they're struggling to move the ball and get points at all, why not go deep in the playbook and come up with something that Cleveland or anyone else has not seen yet this year? That was the time to do it, I thought, and they didn't do it. I want to remind you, Fan Twitter is brought to you by Southwest Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southwestkia.net and the text line, which has some interesting text on it, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And some of the interesting texts coming in here, Austin, are concerning Channel 11 locally here and the fact that Verizon and Cox Broadcasting, I guess it is having an issue. So a lot of people are concerned that they won't be able to watch this game on Sunday night. I thought that might have been resolved, but apparently it isn't. If you have a take on it, let us know, and maybe I'm wrong on that. I thought it might have been resolved. But apparently, according to the texters, it's not resolved, and we'll see where that goes. 412-928-9370. What are some of those texts about the Verizon thing? I thought it was over, but it's not over.
Yeah, I guess there's still a dispute going on between Verizon and Cox Media where some people might not be able to watch the game.
Wow.
Sunday, unless they get that entirely worked out.
They'll get enough pressure. They'll have it solved by then, I believe.
It's also like the YouTube TV discussion with ESPN earlier this year.
Yeah. I mean, it eventually goes away and they get a deal done. A couple of questions to throw out to you guys calling at 412-928-9370 as part of this conversation. Who's your NFL coach of the year? I think it's going to be as hotly contested as ever with guys like Liam Coem in Jacksonville. Cohen's done a great job, Mike Vrabel in New England, and Ben Johnson in Chicago, all turnarounds, big-time turnarounds in the first year. And then who is your MVP of the NFL? All that part of this, so if you have a thought when you call in, let us know. Back to the lines we go.
All right, here is Donald. He's in Atlanta.
ATL, they still have a chance to cause some problems. And, you know, everyone thinks it's just going to be a showdown between the Buccaneers and Panthers, but if Atlanta wins the next two and force a three-way tie, that impacts how this thing is going down. What's up, Donald?
Hey, number one, never happened. Atlanta can't beat Los Angeles tonight. That won't happen.
LA does. Anyway, LA could, you know, rest some people. They're not going to get the number one seed, so I'm not sure how that goes.
Yeah, but Atlanta, even if they do rest them, Atlanta with Kirk Cousins, you either get the good or you get the bad.
All right, what's up?
What I want to text on or talk about is why is it that we continue to. I understand they were trying to get Garrett not to have the sack record. That's fine. But why not try to run at him instead of away from him all the time? Every play was run away from Garrett instead of running at him, force him to make the play running the ball. Second of all.
But it's the same concept that teams run away from T.J. Watt in the run game. They do. They go in the other direction.
They go in the other direction, but they also have success with it. We have three great big tight ends that we can run at Garrett and make him make the plays. But, okay, let's go back and talk about the play where he missed. Why didn't he just go to Freiermuth down the middle? Two straight plays, they went maybe 50 yards on two straight plays. Why not continue going to Freiermuth?
Yeah. I don't even know. Ball. Was he on the field for those final four plays? I
think one of the four. Maybe
well,
two.
See, he should have been not only on the field, but targeted again in option-wise. Although, again, Gainwell was open on the one, and Rodgers never saw him.
Gainwell was wide Valquez open. Stanley. He was wide open on that side. I don't understand the play calling. I don't like the wide receiver screen with only one receiver out there, a small receiver at that, trying to make a block on the number one corner of the league. It just doesn't make sense. I don't understand the play calling at times. I just want to know, what are we going to do? Are we going to keep Smith, or are we going to let Smith go? I say let him go and let's get a final.
I don't know what they're going to do at the end of the season. I think if they lose this, this will be the second straight year of a collapse down the stretch. It could result in multiple changes. Thanks, Donald, for the call in ATL, 412-928-9370. We're going all across the country here. We got callers from all over, don't we?
Yeah, Ken is in Cleveland, the scene of the crime this past weekend.
As a Browns fan or a Steelers fan, Ken?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
I gotta be honest. I think, you know, DK Metcalf was one of the situations that should have not taken place, and he screwed him. And, you know, everybody in the stands was chanting DK, DK. And then the Steelers fan started chanting, Freiermuth, Freiermuth. You know what? They're done. I mean, I don't know how they're going to get any further. Baltimore's going to kick
their
ref.
Because Baltimore has lost a lot of games and underachieved in bigger games, too. I mean, you got two teams that have done a lot of that lately.
Yeah, but Baltimore's got the running back that is tough to stop.
Since you brought it up here, Ken, is you get him to fumble. Last year they played a game where he fumbled early and was taken out and wasn't the same. When he fumbles, he becomes more hesitant. He did this again this year when he has. But if he doesn't fumble, he'll run you right over like roadkill.
I think the other thing, too, is that everybody's taking it for granted when they went to Cleveland. And they just – Cleveland's got a good defense, and people in Pittsburgh just don't want to admit it.
Well, they have an awful offense, and there's no excuse to losing given what was on the line. To me, that was just – incomprehensible, but yet it was comprehensible based on some of the games that have happened in the past.
Pittsburgh, two field goals? You can't win ball games. Even if they make the playoffs, who the hell are they going to beat?
Well, listen, they beat Detroit in Detroit where the Lions were desperate, and I thought three quarters dominated them in that game, and that's what made people believe maybe this is a little bit of a roll they're going on late season opposite of last year. Thanks for the call, Ken. But, you know, this loss just takes all the wind out of the sails. They got to regain that at home on a Sunday night where they have not done well this season. All right, let's move along. Where are we going to next, Sir Limits?
All right, let's move along to Brandon. He's in Youngstown.
Hey, Brandon, what's up?
Hey, Bob. How you doing? I hope you had a good Christmas.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Just a few quick things. I mean, it kind of seems like it's all the same, you know, phone calls, so I'm probably hitting on stuff that you guys are probably over by now. Henry coming to town after, you know, that Madden-like performance definitely worries me, even though I don't think he'll replicate that in Pittsburgh. I just don't. I think we'll scheme well against him. I really do. But I just think that, you know, the fact that we're even in the spot shows that that three-game win streak really just masked what we all know. Changing in coaching and culture are overdue. And with yesterday, play calling, you know, just overall. But then, Bob, why does this offense only look aggressive in desperation. You know, like on that last drive, right. Rodgers is pushing the ball, using fire moves, moving down the field.
With no timeouts? I get it. And why didn't they, like, change this? Go no huddle. Move it up. Quicken the pace. Do anything. They're just reluctant to do that kind of stuff, and I don't understand it. All throughout that game, I was saying, speed things up. You know, Rodgers is good about noticing substitutions. And just make it chaos if you have to.
Exactly. And I understand there's two-minute drills and there's moments that, you know, you can't stay at that pace the whole game. I understand how it works. But for most of the game, we're dinking and dunking. I think it seems to me we throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage more than any other football team. And all season long, this trend, it's a tiny one, but I'll end here. But DBs and linebackers dropping interceptions has been all season. Herbig had a pick six. I understand the conditions. You know, he gets a pass for that. But the rain was a factor, but it's just exhausting, Bob. I mean, it's been all year. That would have changed the game. I know it doesn't matter now. It's a what-if thing, and it was raining. But it's just these tiny little things that are just so – it just comes back to the undisciplined football team. It's just like opportunities that are in front of us that we just don't capitalize on. Two interceptions, we get no points. Boswell struggled. I understand. But we just aren't opportunistic, and it's so exhausting. Where do we go from here? Mm-hmm. I'm just over it.
Thanks, Brandon. A lot of people have the same sentiment at this point, and they can at least put you in a situation if they win that game impressively on Sunday night. They give you some hope in the first round. As I said before, you know, sports has a weird way of changing the dynamics on things just when you think you have it figured out and then everything changes. If they can win the game and do it in a good fashion, get a home game against somebody that, who knows? It could go in that direction too, so we'll see what happens at the end of the year. But, yes, I agree that this has become too much of a trend. They need to do something different here. In that game, I would have done anything different, moved the ball at a quicker pace. I would have taken more shots. I would have been creative with some of these play calls. You know,
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Oh, you saw the tush push that was their best play of the day. It was a 29-yard thing. That was it. Nothing else came close to that, to be honest. And that should not be the case. They should scheme things better. The scheming, was it a result of the talent not there, or was it a result of the scheming was just not that good? It's probably both, but scheming to me has always been an issue when they lose like yesterday.
Well, and I think another problem with this, Bob, is they gave us hope again. Based on what they showed over the last 3 weeks, it's the same old Steelers at the end of the season, up and down, on the seesaw, not knowing what you're going to get. And you'd think that they turn a corner with Aaron Rodgers winning in, against Baltimore, winning against Detroit, taking care of business handily against Miami, where they have a quarterback. They played that game not to lose.
I thought
they
so
didn't
too.
Play that game to win. They played
were very
it not
conservative,
to lose
and they should have been the team coming out there, especially in that first quarter, doing everything to try to get a lead in that team and make it so that Shedeur Sanders had to come at them. And you would have seen potentially six interceptions in that game because I don't think he's that good. All right, Coach of the Year, call us with this too. I want to change up the dynamic a little bit. If you had three choices, you can make other guys available here too. But those three I mentioned, Liam Cohen in Jacksonville, massive turnaround in the first year. Mike Vrabel in New England, massive turnaround, but he's also made Drake May an MVP candidate who had a 90% completion percentage yesterday on 5 touchdown passes against the ridiculously low New York Jets. And then Ben Johnson, what he's done in Chicago. Who would you, if you had those three to choose from, who would you give the vote to?
Well, and I would also throw Dave Canales of what he's doing in Carolina in there
maybe
in the discussion
so, but
as well.
Not
he's
so
not
much.
Top three, but he's also somebody I think should have, be in the
what
discussion.
What about Kyle Shanahan? If you look at the injuries they've sustained over the course of their season, Brock Purdy, their starting quarterback, out for 8 games. They lost Warner for the season. They had another substantial loss for the season. Kittle's missed 8 games. Christian McCaffrey has missed a couple, not as many as he normally does. Yesterday, Trent Williams, trying to run down a pick 6, messes up his hamstring. He may not be available. All their key players have been injured, and yet here they are fighting for the number 1 seed. I'm throwing it in there just because I think he's done a hell of a coaching job.
Yeah, McCaffrey's been surprisingly healthy this year, and yes, he has done a really good job. I would say Liam Cohen. It's either between him and Vrabel. Like the
Why
Bears,
not Ben Johnson?
Ben Johnson's done an incredible job there, too. I just feel like Jacksonville being Jacksonville, where many people were writing off Trevor Lawrence as just being completely broken, and them not having any skill players and their defense being... Liam Cohen completely flipped the Jaguars on its head. Now, you could say the same thing for Vrabel. You could say the same thing for Ben Johnson. But I think it was just a little bit more unexpected with expectations coming into the season for Jacksonville, mm-hmm. where a lot of people were picking the Bears and a lot of people were picking New England to take a big jump and potentially be wild card teams where they're ultimately division winners. Nobody was thinking Jacksonville was going to make the playoffs this year.
No, I agree with that. And even though they had a guy, number 1 overall pick, but the two coaches couldn't get the best out of him. And they have struggled. He's been an outstanding guy down there. So when you call in, give us your choice on that. And I'll throw out MVP of the league. I'm still going Matt Stafford. A lot of people think Drake May would be that guy. Back to the lines we go. So a lot of things on the table for you to talk about. Give us a call. Who are we going to next?
All right, let's move along here to Corey to talk about the Steelers. Or Cody, I should say.
Cody's in Minneapolis. What's up, Cody? How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good, thanks.
Good. So, first of all, I will talk a little bit about the game. But I do, as far as Coach of the Year... You know, I got to go Ben Johnson because people were already right off Caleb Williams as a bust, but he's looked pretty good this year with a competent coach.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I still – 3 good choices, but go ahead.
As far as the game, you know, I think people calling it fixed, that's nothing more than a cop-out to me. That loss was nothing more than an embarrassment, pure and simple. And if the Steelers – game yesterday and the Ravens game on Saturday are anything to go off of, I wouldn't be shocked if we got a flashback to the Bills game on Sunday night. Henry rushing all over us, Renegade getting booed, the fire Tomlin chance. If that's the case, Steelers don't have a chance to turn around and win 3 in a row. But I don't think Tomlin's going to be fired because he's got his winning season. And it's, you know, I love this team. But yesterday was the first time in a long time I skipped over frustrated after a loss to just disgusted.
Yeah, I think that was embarrassing. Just because of what was on the line, I agree with you, Cody. That can't happen. I don't care what the circumstances are. And yes, we've discussed a lot of them. No DK, no Calvin Austin, this, that, and the other. Other teams have the same problems. Look at what Cleveland had to endure on their offense. You know, Quinshon Judkins is their best runner. He got messed up his leg last week. He wasn't even available. They were down to a free agent running back who did well when he had an opportunity to. They've had multiple injuries to their tight ends, wide receivers. Nobody's feeling bad for anyone. You got to win that game. It's pure and simple. They didn't. It's the way they lost. It's really – it takes a lot of the wind out of the sails. Thanks for calling from Minneapolis, though, Cody. Appreciate that. We'll see on Sunday night. I think it's going to be heavily watched, and it could change your opinion about if the Steelers come out and just dominate. I don't think we'll see that, but if they dominate Baltimore, I don't care who plays for Baltimore. If they dominate them and win impressively, you may have different thoughts moving forward. How about Dallas, Texas? We got people from all over the country calling here, Austin.
Yeah, here's Dan to chime in.
Hey, Dan, what's up?
Hey, fellas. Yeah, kind of along the same lines, but I want to throw out a dark horse for Coach of the Year. First of all, what about Sean Payton in Denver? He's done a heck of a job.
He has. I think a lot of people had Denver.
Quarterback and, yeah, I mean, they're looking for a one seed, right?
But I think people thought going into this season with their defense and with a second year of Bo Nix, they were going to be a factor. Maybe not number one seed, but they thought they were going to be a factor.
Yeah, the dethrone the Chiefs is a big deal. I mean, you know, that's a heck of a coaching job.
Let me ask you something before you go on, and that's about George Pickens. What is the view in Dallas, since he's going to be an unrestricted free agent with George Pickens?
You know, it's like I told everybody, he's one heck of a player when he's dialed in, but then, you know, he takes these weird kind of manic games off, right? He seems disinterested. So, I don't know. They've got a heck of a decision to make there. When he's on, he's so hot. I mean, it's almost like I would sign him if I was the Cowboys. Because when that sucker's on and you got CeeDee Lamb on the other side, that's potent. And, you know, Prescott. You got Prescott to throw the ball. So, I mean, I think they sign him. He's just George.
What was your original point about the Steelers, Dan?
Original point about the Steelers is it would be better off, I feel like, if they just went ahead and lost, and maybe it'll trigger true change, which we've needed for quite some time, going along at 9-8, 10-7, whatever, with this sort of, you know, top of the middle view of the NFL. Well, what does that get you? Nothing. Have we wasted T.J. Watt as a Hall of Famer's career? Have we wasted Cam Hayward?
They're getting to the point. That's been a conversation piece we've had many times on this show, that these guys are getting to the point where you try to win when they're here, and so far that hasn't happened. And I think Cam has played really well this year. He has been there single game, and yet they may not be in position to do that. So thanks, Dan.
Right, and I think they start off, and it's like, there's nothing wrong with Aaron Rodgers. He's Hall of Famer. But, I mean, you know, going in with a 41-year-old quarterback, now 42, it doesn't give you much hope when you look at the landscape of the AFC and the other, you know, young, vibrant quarterbacks that everybody seems to have. And then this stubborn refusal, game after game, year after year, to utilize the middle of the field in the passing game. Yesterday, they had the Browns, linebacker, young star, he couldn't run. They still didn't throw the ball.
I was surprised. Right? Thanks for the call. That's a good point, and I've made it earlier. I made it yesterday as it happened. We're sitting up there watching with Arthur Motes, and we all talking about the guy's got one leg. How are they not going after him every single time they had a chance? Yeah, I would have.
Dude's just hobbling around the field, and is clearly, and he's probably the defensive rookie of the year, not playing in a position where he's at 100%, 90%, even 80%. So the fact that they didn't attack him, whether it be just a slant route or just run right at him, I didn't understand it. There were so many coaching gaffes in yesterday's game. It all falls back on the head coach, who, again, fooled us again with the winning streak to back to potentially being 9-8 again if they lose this game and missing the playoffs and another huge collapse.
Let me ask you this. Would this collapse be more so than last year? I think yes, given what was at stake. Last year, they knew they were going into this gauntlet of games, 3-11 days against all superior teams. So it's kind of like you thought, well, that's going to be a tough one to swallow. This one, when you had Lamar Jackson as banged up as he's been and as big of a hole as they dug at 1-5, and you have Joe Burrow missing almost the entire season and that team completely out of whack, those are the two teams people thought would advance and be Super Bowl contenders.
Right.
When both essentially take themselves out of this, you have a golden opportunity to win a division. And yet yesterday, you would have thought that they were the team playing spoiler.
Well, it's because of who you lose to. Like, let's say hypothetically they do lose out. You lose to a 3-12 Cleveland team that basically had no offense and no skill position players and no weapons. They made Jerry Jeudy look like Jerry Rice in the first half especially. And then a Baltimore team who, Bob, is 3.5-point favorites in your building where we don't even know if Lamar Jackson is going to play. And they're 3.5-point favorites. And if they beat you, especially with Snoop Huntley, Bob, I tweeted this out, and I really wonder about this. if they're losing by a score or two late in the second half, what is the vibe going to be like in that building? The fire Tomlin chants and the just emotion in the stadium is going to be very intense, much more than the Buffalo game.
I hope that they come out and make a big statement and win a game. I want to see this, what happens in the playoffs, because that's the one area that is a big point of conversation about not winning play. I want to see, because they've been dominated in those playoff games. Not even, we talk about slow starts. That's been the embodiment of what this problem is, these slow starts, especially in playoff games. 412-928-9370. Again, give me your vote for who you think should be coach of the year at this point. And also, you know, we're going to get into the Baltimore view. We have Rob Long coming on 105 today. We also have a Limitless Express. When are we going to do that? We have to take a trip around the NFL and talk about all these other games. When are we going to do all this?
Yeah, we're going to finish with a trip around the NFL after we talk to Rob. We have to do some decisions as well, Bob.
Lots of decisions. We could go on and on. A lot of people have already called with those decisions. We'll find out what some of those are going to be when we come back.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We're back. Joe Starkey having a much-deserved vacation this week. Tomorrow, Austin Bechtold will be in the hot seat. He'll take you through Tuesday, and a lot to talk about. It'll be Mike Tomlin's press conference getting set for the Ravens, who had an extra day off since they played on Saturday, and that line is Baltimore by 3 on a Sunday night winner-take-all battle. Also this week, we're going to get back to the college football quarterfinals. And interesting games here. You have Miami, which is almost a 10-point underdog to Ohio State. That's 2 versus 10. Miami won in a really, to me, shockingly low-scoring game against Texas A&M at 10-3. Is Ohio State worthy of a 10-point pick against Miami?
Maybe not 10, but they definitely should be favored by a touchdown.
Yeah, I agree. They're the team right now playing at high level. Miami, although deserves to be in this field, but as a 10th seed, they got some uphill climbing to do. That'll be on New Year's Eve, December 31st. Then on January 1st, New Year's Day, you got 3 straight games. You got Oregon, Texas Tech, 4 versus 5 there. Oregon's a 2.5-point pick. And then you have Alabama, Indiana. Indiana, 6.5 points. There's a part of Alabama that scares me if I'm Indiana. You?
Yeah, just because it's Alabama and Ty Simpson's a good player and they had a pretty solid performance in their win against Oklahoma where, I mean, especially in the second half, they pretty much dominated. I still think Indiana's going to win that game and Mendoza will do enough and the year of Cignetti will continue. I like almost all the favorites this week, Bob, outside of the Oregon-Texas Tech game. I think Oregon will win.
And Ole Miss and Georgia is the last one of the Sugar Bowl, 8 p.m. It's Georgia minus 6.5 against Ole Miss, playing without Lane Kiffin. We saw Kyle Whittingham decide to not go into retirement.
And no.
$8.2 million will make you think differently about everything.
Yeah, so much for that retirement.
Do you know he was at that university at Utah for almost 30 years, first as an assistant, then a 21-year head coach? He was really good for them.
He was, and when he ultimately decided to retire, I wonder if it was with the thought of Michigan in the back of his mind.
Well, after that mess, I'm sure he didn't think Michigan was going to have an open opportunity there.
Right.
But when Sharon Moore does what he does, then all of a sudden, boom, everything changes. Money talks.
And I thought it was interesting. He said it's basically like a five-year run for him. Like somebody asked, are you going to finish out your entire contract here? Because he's in his 60s. How much is he truly going to be able to give to Michigan? But really successful guy at Utah. I mean, had a good run.
Physical team he put together every single year.
It's not like it's a dynamic place that you can win every single year and depend on NIL as well now. So that's a good hire for Michigan. Maybe not a home run hire, but it's a very good hire.
We'll get back to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, provided trusting plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years in just a minute. One thing about Pitt, though, in this game, you know, I saw the point spread jump up. People were just betting on Pitt because ECU, in that game, East Carolina, right? All these opt-outs. The line started the week at Pitt minus 4. It ended up Pitt minus 12 because their quarterback, Caitlin Hauser, went into the transfer portal. 19 touchdowns, so they had to play with two guys who had really not played all that much at quarterback. Then their top running back decides that he's opting out after 7 touchdowns and almost 800 yards rushing. Then their top wide receiver transfers, Yannick Smith. Then two offensive linemen, and on top of that, their offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator all get other jobs, they leave. Somehow Pitt managed to mangle this and lose. I just didn't see that coming.
I think mangling it is probably putting it kindly, Bob. So this game was going on when I was at the Pinstripe Bowl. And as I keep following along with it, I was like, what the heck is going on with Pitt? Like, in all sincerity, Mason Heinchel's playing. It's the final game for Randy Bates. Why does Pitt just continue to have problems with teams they should easily beat?
Exactly.
It was Toledo a year ago and what, the Game Above Sports Bowl or whatever they call that thing now in Detroit? So they lose that. They lose this. Bob, these are inexcusable.
Inexcusable.
Losses.
And they happen every year, and now we're back to an 8-5 season. Started differently. Then they met the big dogs, Miami and Notre Dame, and they couldn't handle it. So that's where Pitt is right now, kind of mired in the same situation. At 412-928-9370. All right, let's get back to the phone line. Steelers, of course, still the topic with the Ravens coming up on Sunday night, 8:20. Everything on the line.
All right, here is Chris. He's in New York.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, Bob. How are you? First of all, I'm a season ticket holder, believe it or not, from New York.
You fly in every week?
I went to 3 games this year. That's what I did. 3 games, and then hopefully for a playoff game. But the reason I'm calling is I felt watching the Steeler game yesterday, there was no urgency, Bob. I felt that.
Agreed.
I felt that the body language. You know, when we played Detroit, our defense, everything was in place. We knew where Detroit was going. We get beat so many times over the middle and to the sidelines. It's ridiculous. I mean, I don't care who's out there. I really don't. Who's ever playing, they have to manage giving up over the middle and to the sideline. And then the offense, how are you running sweeps? Running sweeps against a really good defense that the Browns have. There was no urgency yesterday, Bob. The body language, I felt that the whole team yesterday seemed confused. Am I right or wrong here?
No, I think you're totally right. And again, the first quarter told the story. 127-6 yards advantage for Cleveland, a team that does not have much of an offense. It's injured. It's
no.
Not good. Shedeur Sanders is not good. Sorry, he isn't.
I want to say that. Yesterday, his football being thrown was so wobbly, it wasn't even funny. And the touchdown pass that he gave up, Duggar, thank you. That was one of the worst passes that I've ever seen, and we can't intercept it or knock it down.
Anything. He looked like it was just a flyby. I don't know if he lost track of it, But those conspiracy theorists out there would look at that play and say, oh, there's something wrong there. And that's what happens when this stuff has become topical with other sports and, you know, like I said, prop betting and everything else that's gotten into trouble. But you're right. They had opportunities to make plays. They get two interceptions, could have had a third, no points on that. You talk about complimentary football, that's where you're supposed to compliment the turnover and turn it into points.
And where was Freiermuth at the end of the game?
Good question.
And the other tight end, I mean, I almost got thrown out of a bar in New York because they just basically think I'm a diehard Steeler fan. Like I said, I got season tickets and I can't. What's frustrating is that this team, first of all, I think Metcalf basically cost us. And you know what? Because we would have won that game yesterday because everyone would have been focusing on Metcalf and we would have had our other guys wide open all day. And I feel bad for Washington. He breaks his arm and I don't know, Bob. Better come up next week. Real quick. I want them to come out next week. Like you said, physicality, and they have to set the tone early. Because if they go down, like Limit said, if they go down 17-3, 17-0, the fans are not – because I sold my tickets to friends in Pittsburgh, and they already said, Chris, what do we expect? I go, I have no idea, but they already said that they'll leave. They'll leave at halftime, they said, if the Steelers are getting blown out.
Well, hopefully it'll be a good game and at least get into the playoffs and see what happens, Chris. I'd love to see that possibility because I still think it's kind of a wide-open AFC. Not that I would expect them to do much when they get there based on yesterday, but they also went through a couple of games where you had to be optimistic about how they were playing. So thanks for the call, Matt. I appreciate that. And, another thing that happened, I got a lot of texts last night, Limits, here for people who were upset with the NFL again for waiting so long to determine. They always do this. And even though you had an inkling, this game would have been on Sunday night. A lot of people have to make plans, and a lot of people have to fly out to get back to a workplace on Monday. And it seems like the NFL
don't care about that.
No, it's all television. I get it. It's all television. All right, let's go back.
That's in the back of their minds. That's the last priority. It's all about TV scheduling, just like these bowl games in college football. It's all about, well, where can we best position it for these matchups? People were complaining, why is there no Penn State Pinstripe Bowl? I think we all would have wanted that, but Penn State and Clemson sells more. I mean, look who Pitt's opponent was, East Carolina, and East Carolina ended up winning in the Military Bowl. It's all about money, unfortunately. I would have loved to have seen Pitt-Penn State.
It's all about television money specifically. Correct. They determine who wants what and what gets sold and what time of day this is. So a lot of people, and I saw it last night firsthand, were saying, this is ridiculous. I have to be back. I'm flying in. And I got to change my flights. So I get it. All right, one more call before we go to the top of the hour. And by the way, the 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Route 19 Peters Township. Who do we got?
All right, here's Dennis in Cheswick.
What's up, Denny?
Hey, Bob. Happy New Year. Many more.
You too.
I have my notes written down here.
Oh, how about that? He's prepared. I like that, Dennis. What's on top of that note list?
Right now, as you lose momentum, you have to get the points. Never take the points off the scoreboard. That field goal, if they would have went for a field goal, that creates a lot more momentum.
Which one are you talking about here?
The first one. How far was that out, Bob? They went for it, and he threw the pass.
On the fourth and one call you're talking about, did they go to the end zone? That would have been 40-some yards.
That's a short. Remember them old-time coaches? They always says, never take points off the scoreboard.
Well, the points weren't on the scoreboard, though, Dennis. They had not yet gotten to the score. They were going to go – I have a bigger problem with fourth and one going for it all. Now, I understand how play calling works. If it's a successful touchdown, people were saying that's a brilliant call. They didn't expect it. But, the drive to me was just keep on grinding along the way they were going. They could have picked up 1 yard there, but they didn't. Yeah, if they get three there instead of nothing. But if and that's all that thing where whatever the saying is, they missed a 54-yard field goal. And if that goes in the last part of the game, they kick a field goal to try to win the game. They don't have to score a touchdown. They would have had four field goals and no touchdowns and won the game. Cleveland was that bad after the first quarter offensively, and the Steelers made them look bad offensively, which is what they should have done from the beginning of the game.
Here's the thing. everybody's going on fourth down anymore. That's a thing now.
Okay, but going for the gusto or going for the first down? You know, you could have gotten, they needed 1 yard.
But them points are there. And that sets the tone, Bob, for the rest. I mean, there's momentum there. They come away with nothing. If they would have got them, it's a toss-up call. I understand that. But I'd go with Mike Vrabel for
Coach of the Year. Yeah, and, I mean, all three are good choices.
And then, yes, they are. And then Derrick Henry, Sunday night. Big question, you know.
I don't think there's any question. That. Thanks, Dennis. You're going to see, if you had to put an over and under, Austin, on the number of carries he's going to get, 36 the last game. That was the most he's had this season in terms of, and they had to do it. And this is why I said from the beginning to you that without Lamar Jackson, they may be more dangerous.
Why? I don't understand that, Bob. Why do you think they're more dangerous? Just because they'd be in their own heads thinking that Lamar.
John Harbaugh doesn't have to defer to too many things in the pass game or whatever Lamar does. Plus, he's not. And I think what this does is simplify the game for him so he doesn't have to make stupid calls. In other words, this is your bell, Kyle. This is how you win. This is how they win, period. They ran the first game of the year. Henry goes over 200 yards against Buffalo. They blew that because why? Because they started to get fancy at the end of the game instead of running him all over the place.
Who do you think gives the Ravens a better chance to win, Snoop Huntley or Lamar Jackson?
Again, in this situation, he's not going to be 100%.
You're taking Snoop Huntley.
I'm taking the philosophy that comes with running Derrick Henry more.
So why can't they have Lamar play and run Derrick Henry more? Why can't they have both?
Why haven't they done it?
You don't think that anything can change based on this last performance where Derrick Henry, or maybe there's some
sense that shaped. I'm just saying, philosophically, the decision's kind of made for you. And by the way, Huntley, it's not like he's some guy who just came in. And he's been with them for a long time.
Yeah, but it's not Lamar.
He's not.
And I've been very critical of Lamar.
Lamar, as a two-time NFL MVP, has had some of his worst games in games like this and some of his worst games in Pittsburgh.
Right, but again, why are you paying him $50 million then?
I understand
just
what I'm saying.
Just sit on the bench? I know he's not 100%.
Again,
strictly, who's 100%
of this strictly
point?
A philosophy thing for me, that they don't have much else other than, and quite frankly, with a run game like that, even Snoop Huntley can make plays to the outside.
Lamar is not as mobile, but I do, right now, due to the injury. But I
he's
do
got a
think,
back problem. They say it's 50-50, and if it's 50-50, he ain't going to play.
I do think that and why do you think that is? Do you think that's Lamar with the speculation that he wants more money going into next year with the contract to be redone? Or
I hope that's not the case.
What is the case then?
He's not physically healthy to do it.
If 50%? He's 50-50 and he's for the team, he should be out there playing.
If he's 50-50, I don't want him out there. I want someone who's better than that health-wise running the show. This guy has been around a long time. He's not some scrub. He's actually been a Pro Bowler, even though I think that was a generous pick for him, Huntley. But again, it just makes it so that they don't have to outthink themselves. I think John Harbaugh has outthought himself so many times this season that he's cost themselves games, especially late.
I do agree with that. I still think a threat of Lamar, especially in the passing game, because he's
totally
improved as a passer.
I get that.
With them still depending on Derrick Henry.
They don't run him the way they used to. He doesn't run himself the way he used to.
Lamar.
So he's become more of a, and honestly, the last few weeks, passing the ball has not been his strength, even though he's become a better passer over the years. I just think you should expect, again, the question is over and under. How many? If I gave you a 30 is the number. Over and under carries for.
I'd say just under, just a little bit under, but it's going to be around 30.
It'll be
25
around 30.
To 30 is
all
probably
right.
The number.
I'm looking at right now on one of the websites here that I like to look at for over and under possible numbers. Targets for Pat Freiermuth. 5.
Under. They don't throw it to
but
him.
But it's an easy bet to go
they don't
over.
Throw
they
it
should
to,
do over.
It should be an easy bet to go over, but they haven't. Like, Pat Freiermuth had 3 catches
I know. I
in
just,
this past
I
game.
I don't
3.
Understand it, and it's been that way all season long. He's one of those guys I would target much more than anyone else.
2 were on the final drive. That's
right.
It. He was your leading receiver with 63 yards because he had a 29-yard catch. Pat Freiermuth this season, this is his splits. These are the receptions that he's had. Since the Buffalo game, he had no catches. Baltimore, he had 2. Miami, he had 3. Detroit, he actually had 4. Can you believe that? All 4 times he was targeted, he caught the football. And 3 targets against Cleveland.
That's the other thing. When you target him, he makes catches. And he turns, you know, they say, I don't know where this came from. He's a zone buster kind of guy. I don't care what he is. Yesterday, with that middle linebacker, as hobbled as he was, that's a mismatch that could have been happening over and over again because he wasn't coming out of the game, and they didn't do it enough.
There have been 5 games this season where Pat Freiermuth has had either one catch or no catches at all. There have been games where he's not even been targeted. They didn't target him in the Buffalo game.
No,
so what makes you think that he's going to be over that number in five?
Because he's their best option with no Metcalf. I don't know about Austin if he doesn't play. If he doesn't play, who would you rather go to? It should be Gainwell in the pass game I'm talking about and Freiermuth.
Well, I agree.
Those two.
I agree
Warren
with that.
And also could be effective in the pass game. He got zero targets there yesterday in that regard. But the point is they should also run the ball more. They're good at it when they do it. They can mix it up, short passes, run. They should have success. Baltimore's defense is not that good.
The only time that Pat Freiermuth had five catches in a game earlier this year was five catches for 111 yards and two touchdowns against Cincinnati. The game where we all said, where has he been?
But even five is not enough in that game. They should have gone to him more. They lost that game, one of the killer losses of the season. But this one yesterday was the worst of all. We got to take a break here. It's 412-928-9370. Get your comments on that. Who's your coach of the year in the NFL? Who's your MVP? I think it's Matthew Stafford. Do you agree or disagree? Are you going to make a case for Drake May?
I think it's Drake May. I do think it's Drake May. Based on what New England was, is what, a 4 or 5 win team a year ago? High expectations for the Rams.
He's been terrific.
Like, Stafford's been great, don't get me wrong. But what Drake May has done in just his second season for a Patriot team that was dead last year and hired a new coach and made an offense that had no weapons, you bring in a couple of players to bring in Stephon Diggs. Drake May has been incredible. He really has. MVP.
So what's your take on that? Call us at 412-928-9370. Austin has an update for you. We'll come back with a lot of other stuff concerning not just the Steelers, but we'll delve into quickly the Penguins. We talked about Pitt a little bit. The Pirates were waiting on more news. Is there a Japanese third baseman coming to Pittsburgh? I see this. I don't know what to believe on social media.
Yeah, there's a lot of just random
accounts.
But
I would love, if it's not him, Eugenio Suarez. Yep. Why not? He's still dangling out there at $15 million a year. I don't care if he hits 197. What I want him to do is hit home runs, and he can do that.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.